The man who believed what God said.
When Cain, Adam and Eve's first son, was born, Eve entertained the hope that he was to be the promised savior. Little did she realize she would suffer a heartbreaking disappointment in being the mother of the world's first murderer. Since that time, there have always been two classes of men. Those who believed in God's love and obeyed him, and those who disobeyed God and believed in their own force and energy. When Adam was 130 years old, another son was born to him, whom he named Seth. Years later, Seth became the father of Enos. The descendants of Seth separated themselves from the wicked descendants of Cain. They cherished the knowledge of God's will, while the ungodly race of Cain had no respect for God and his sacred commandments. As the race of Cain multiplied, they began to spread out over the plains and valleys, while the children of Seth withdrew to the mountains and there made their homes. In time, however, the two races gradually began to mingle and intermarry, and many of the worshippers of God were drawn into sin. They lost their peculiar holy character and walked in the ways of Cain.
I am Methuselah, son of Enoch, and a descendant of Seth. I lived to be over 960 years of age. During those long years, I saw much wickedness and degradation. People sought to gratify self, and they used the abundance of gold, silver, and precious stones to build houses for themselves, trying to outdo one another in beautifying their dwellings with the most skillful workmanship.
Ah, there, dear, it's done. Finished. Our home.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful? Huh. It's the most beautiful, the most expensive, the richest house in all the world.
Wait until Mrs. Enos sees the diamond room.
And the room overlaid with pure gold. Oh, won't people envy us when they see it?
Because of this desire to glorify self, the people soon forgot God. They began to worship nature in place of the God of nature. They glorified human genius, worshipped the works of their own hands, and taught their children to bow down to graven images instead of to the God of creation.
God? The only God worthy of worship is nature and the things of nature. My beautiful home. My creation. Ah, now there's something to be proud of and to revere. God!
Men chose to follow their own sinful desires, and as a result, crime and wretchedness rapidly increased. Men took by force the things they coveted. They gloated in deeds of violence, until they came to regard human life with astonishing indifference.
You have a vineyard I want. How much will you sell it for?
Oh, it's not for sale.
Well, just the same, I want it.
I inherited that vineyard. It's not for sale, I said.
Oh, it's not, huh? Well, in that case, I'll just get rid of you and take it anyway.
No!
The cries of the oppressed reached to heaven. Holy Scripture says,
And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. And God said, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence. And behold, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God said to Noah, Make yourself an ark of gopher wood.
That's what the Lord told me.
How soon will the flood come, dear?
The Lord said it would be 120 years. During that time, he commanded that I build an ark, a great boat, which is to house some of all the animals and birds of the air and all the people, those who will listen to the warning and come in for safety.
But, Noah, you may be able to build such a boat, but
when it comes to preaching, telling all the people that there's going to be a flood. Well, dear, even if you could preach, they wouldn't believe you. They'd ridicule you and scorn you to death.
It won't be an easy task, but the God that told me to do it, he will also give me the ability and the strength to carry out his command.
Well, I suppose you're right. When do you begin?
Right away. We have no time to lose. And, dear, it will take everything we have. Everything. All our possessions, all our strength, to prepare the ark. God gave me minute instructions and told me just how to build it.
So Noah began building the ark in accordance with the explicit instructions from God. Undoubtedly, Methuselah, the grandfather of Noah, helped in this tremendous task. Gopher wood, which would be untouched with decay for hundreds of years, was used to construct the ark. The work progressed slowly. Some years after Noah began building the ark, he had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They were early taught to help in the building of the ark. They grew up in the atmosphere and excitement attending the ark building. By the time Shem, Ham, and Japheth grew into manhood, the ark was taking shape. It was built to resemble a ship, yet in some respects, it looked more like a house. It was three stories high, with the only entrance door on one side. Light was admitted from the roof. As the boat grew in size, great crowds came from every direction to see the strange sight and to hear the earnest, fervent words of this peculiar preacher.
Why doesn't Noah send all these people away? I think it's a shame that people come from all over the world and... Well, what do they come for? To hear Noah preach the truth? No. To ridicule him and make fun of him.
He doesn't want to send them away.
Well, certainly he doesn't like to be made fun of.
Of course not. He sincerely wishes that everyone would believe and be saved.
Then why does he put up with all this derision?
Because he says that in this way, everyone will eventually come here and thus be warned of the impending doom.
Pretty smart, if you ask me.
Noah is a very wise man and sincere.
But no one believes him. He's so radical in his viewpoints and predictions that people call him the mad preacher.
Well, he's not as radical as most people think.
But a flood? A flood is against nature, against the laws of nature.
God is the God of nature. He is its creator. He controls it.
But the heavens and...
People!
Why, sis?
People, please,
you
be
sound
quiet.
As though you believe there
My
will be a flood.
My father Noah wants to speak
to you. I want to hear Noah.
Friends, relatives and visitors from all parts of the world. Each day at this time, my father speaks to those who have come here. You will want to hear what he has to say about certain facts and the truth concerning the future. My father, Noah. Friends, some of you live near at hand. Some of you are from more remote parts of the earth. But all of you are here to see the ark and to hear me speak. Some of you have an honest desire to know the truth about the future. Others wish only to scoff and ridicule.
You've been building this ark and preaching our doom for a long time. But there's nothing happened yet. When is our doom coming? Today?
The God of heaven will bring a flood upon the earth. All who are not inside the ark will be destroyed.
Where?
I believe Noah is right.
Oh, don't be so gullible. There can't be a flood.
Well, I'm going to find out for sure.
How? Ask Noah, I suppose?
Yes. I'll go to him personally and find out the truth.
I plead with every one of you. Put away your evil ways and turn to God. He sees your wickedness. He sees apostasy.
Yeah, but, daughter, there can't be a flood. Where would the water come from? Our scientists and wise men have made extensive studies of this matter. They've experimented and made tests. They say a flood is absolutely impossible. Now, Noah is just a fanatical, mad preacher trying to attract attention.
Father, who created the earth?
No, what do you mean?
Who created this earth? This very earth upon which we live?
Well, the Almighty, I guess.
You guess? Don't you know if God created it or not?
We're told that he did, but that's not proof.
Father, when I was just a little girl, you used to take me to see the Garden of Eden.
Mm.
We got close enough to actually see the angel guarding the gate, remember?
Oh, yes.
Well, so the story of creation and the first sin must be true. God did create the world and all that in it is, including nature. God is therefore the creator of nature. He can change the course of nature. He can do anything.
Oh, now, why would God want to destroy the earth and all the people, assuming that there is a God and that he could bring a flood?
People are terribly wicked, Father, and you know it. Nearly everyone has completely forgotten God. People worship idols. We do ourselves. We're self-indulgent
now, look here.
We're steeped in sin. We condone wickedness of all kinds, and God will
not... I will not have a daughter of mine talking to me like that. Now stop it this instant.
I didn't mean to be disrespectful, Father. I just believe there will be a flood, and I want my loved ones to be saved in the ark, and
I forbid you to believe, Noah. There will be no flood, understand?
But I do
believe... I also forbid you to go near the ark again. Disobey me, and you'll be no daughter of mine.
Father!
I mean it, Mother. I will not permit a daughter of mine to believe such absurdities and mingle with all those crazy fanatics. I don't want it even mentioned in this house again, now, ever. Understand?
Yes, Father.
All right. Now, see that you obey. Now, Mother, I'm hungry. Have dinner ready in half an hour. I'll be in the conservatory.
Oh, Mother, Mother.
I'm sorry, dear, but your father's right. There isn't going to be a flood, and you shouldn't be so gullible.
But there is going to be, Mother. God said so, and God's word never fails.
God is a God of law and order. As you yourself say, he ordained the laws of nature. Certainly he will not change them. Destruction is also contrary to God's nature.
So is sin. He abhors sin, and sin abounds everywhere, Mother. Where the people
You're forgetting what your father said. Now you'd better obey him.
But, Mother, I believe there will be a flood, and I can't help but talk about it. When the flood comes, I'm going to be inside that ark. And I want you and my sister and father there, too.
Are you saying that rather than give up your nonsensical notions and fancied opinions, you're going to cling to them and allow yourself to be disgraced and disowned?
I'm sorry for that, of course, Mother, but I must first of all obey God. Oh, Mother, can't you see how I feel? Can't you understand that there is going to be a flood and all who are not inside the ark will be lost?
I'm sorry to have to say this to you, my oldest daughter, but since you insist on disobeying your father by refusing to give up these foolish ideas, you'd better pack up and leave.
All right, Mother, if that's your wish...
Where's daughter?
She's out.
Well, when she comes in, tell her that I want to see her.
She won't be coming in.
She what?
She left.
Left? For where?
I don't know. She just left. She's not coming back.
She ran away?
You chased her away.
I chased her away.
You refused to let her believe in the flood and remain here. You disowned her and she left.
Oh. Well, good enough for her. If she's foolish enough to believe in a flood...
You used to believe it yourself.
I did? When, pray tell?
Back when Noah first started preaching a flood.
Oh, well, I guess I did, didn't I?
Well, maybe there is going to be a flood. Maybe the ark is our only salvation. Maybe we
should... Now, listen, you. How many times have I got to tell you that there isn't going to be a flood? There can't be. It's absolutely, scientifically impossible.
Yes, I know. That's what Adam and Eve thought, too. They just knew that God would not make them leave their garden home. They knew death was against God's nature, and he would not bring death to them. But look what happened. They were wrong, so we can be wrong now.
But our scientists and wise men have proved beyond the shadow of a doubt that a flood is impossible.
Well, they could be wrong, couldn't they?
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take you to the ark and let you see and hear for yourself. We'll all go, you and our remaining daughter. We'll make a day of it. Take a picnic lunch. We need a holiday anyway. You two get things ready and we'll get started. Oh, well, there she is. Noah's folly, the ark.
Oh, it's a lot bigger than I thought it would be. Exactly. It's almost finished.
Yes, there's just a few more weeks' work on it.
Who are all these people helping build it? I thought just Noah and his three sons were doing the work.
Oh, no. I understand Noah had to hire some outside help. They say it's costing him all his possessions, everything he has and owns.
He must really be convinced there'll be a flood. Maybe there will be.
I feel the same way. I just...
I will not have you two talking like that. Now, you hear me? I forbid it. It's a... Well, don't even think about it. Well, now that that's settled, I'll show you around. Come on.
The man who believed what God said.
For many years, Noah has been warning the world of an impending flood. At the same time, he and his three sons work untiringly to build a great boat to house people and animal life during the storm.
There comes Noah now!
Oh, those three young men following Noah on the platform are his three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Those four women back of the platform are probably Noah's wife and his three sons' wives.
People! 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 Quiet, please! Friends, I am Shem, eldest son of Noah. It's my duty and great pleasure to introduce Noah, my father, chosen of God to herald the coming flood.
By this time, it is common knowledge that this ark is being built as an ark of safety for all those who will choose to be saved from the soon coming flood. God is a God of love. He is not willing that any shall perish. Even now, if the world would repent and turn away from its sins and evil doing, God would spare the earth from the flood. But God is also a just God and a powerful God. He will not be trifled with, nor continue his long suffering with sin and wrongdoing forever. If men choose to continue in their evil ways, he will most certainly destroy the world with a flood from which none will escape. Won't you believe? Come into the safety of the ark!
Thank you, friends, for your attention. Tomorrow, my father Noah will again appear on this platform, as he will every day until the day of the flood.
Oh, well, come on. It's all over. Let's go.
Before we return home, excuse us for a few moments, will you?
Oh, surely, but I'll be right here when you get back.
Come on, dear.
Yeah, but don't be gone long.
Where are we going?
Shh!
Wait until we get out of your father's hearing. I don't want him to know where we're going.
Oh.
Did you notice those four women back of the platform?
While Noah was speaking?
Yes.
What about them?
One of them was your sister.
It was. I didn't notice.
I did. We're going to find her and talk to her. There she is. She sees us, too.
Mother,
yes. Hello. What are you doing here?
More appropriately, what are you two doing here?
Your father brought us to hear Noah and to view the ark.
Father came and brought you? Oh, this is a surprise, Mother. Oh, I'm so glad you decided to come.
Oh, daughter, why don't you give up this silly idea and come back home?
No, Mother. I'm convinced that God is using Noah to warn the world of the flood. I must follow my convictions. But you, Mother, you and Sis, why don't you come with us and be saved?
Ah, I don't know what to believe. I'm confused.
Believe, Mother. Believe what God says. Noah speaks the truth.
Well, perhaps, but I can't. I don't want to leave your father. Maybe if there is a flood, you'll let me in the ark then.
Oh, I wish that I could. But I won't be able to, Mother. Once the door of the ark is closed, it'll be too late. Your doom will be sealed. Oh, but it isn't too late now, Mother. There's still time today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, dear.
I just heard. Sis is married. She married Shem. Mother, did you hear me? Sis married Shem, Noah's oldest son.
I heard you.
Hurry, you two. We're going to the Ark right away.
Again?
Now hurry, or I'll go without you.
Go ahead and go.
Oh, don't you want to go?
Should I want to?
Well, it's rumored that the Ark is completely finished, and something's about to happen. It might be exciting. They're going to call the old man's bluff, make a fool out of him. Should be interesting, eh? Well, are you going or not?
Oh, don't be so impatient. I'll be ready in a few minutes.
I'm going too, Father.
People! My dear people! The Ark is finished! Every part of it just as God directed. A great abundance of food for both man and beast is laid in store. Now, once more...
All you need now is some people and animals, eh, Noah? Need some help to round them up?
Once more, my people, I plead with you. Accept God's last call of mercy. He loves you. His great heart yearns to save you. He has provided a way of escape for you. For 120 long years, he's waited for you. Is there not one who will enter the Ark of Safety now? Now, while the door is still open.
Just a minute, friends. As one of your leaders, a representative of the masses, I say, don't be alarmed by what this man is saying. The threatenings of God are for the purpose of frightening you. But you need not be alarmed. Such an event as the destruction of the world by the God who made it and the punishment of the beings he has created will never take place. For centuries, the laws of nature have been fixed. The seasons come and go in their order. The earth has always been watered by a mist or dew. The rivers have never yet overflowed their boundaries. As to rain or water coming down from the heavens and causing a flood, preposterous! Be at peace! Continue to build, to drink, and be merry, for this Noah is a wild fanatic, a deluded old man!
Look! Look over there! Coming toward the Ark. Animals. All kinds of animals.
A great silence has just fallen upon this vast, mocking throng. A strange phenomenon is taking place. Beasts and animals of every description, the fiercest as well as the most gentle, are seen coming from mountain and forest. They all seem to be quietly making their way toward the Ark. The clean beasts are coming in sevens, and the unclean in twos. And now something else is beginning to happen. There's a noise like a rushing wind. Why, it's birds. Birds are flocking from all directions. So many of them that their numbers are darkening the very skies. It's a very strange sight. They seem to be flying in perfect order, straight into the great doorway of the Ark. The animals and the fowls are obeying the command of God, but men refuse to heed his command. All that is, except Noah and his wife and their three sons and their wives, they also have now entered the Ark.
Look! Look! There's a dazzling light by the door of the Ark. The door of the Ark is closing all by itself.
Maybe an angel from heaven is closing the door.
Noah and his family are inside the Ark.
I'm glad our daughter is in there, too.
Afraid?
We have need to be afraid. There is going to be a flood. We are doomed. We have sinned away our day of grace.
Oh, nonsense, nonsense.
Then how do you explain all these unusual happenings?
I don't know. But our wise men and philosophers will explain them. Just wait and see.
chosen as the spokesman for your leaders, your elders and wise men. They have instructed me to assure you that there will be no flood. Despite the unusual things you witnessed here, there still can be no flood. You are urged to get back to your normal way of life. There will be no flood.
For 7 days after Noah and his family entered the ark, there appeared no sign of the coming storm. During those long days, the faith of Noah and his family was tested. But it was a time of triumph to the crowds outside. More than ever, they were sure the flood would never come.
How long do you think they'll stay in that boathouse? It must be awfully dull in there without anything going on.
Oh, they have to feed the animals, you know.
Hey! Hey, Noah! Noah, open up the door! Open up so you can prophesy about the coming flood, huh? Hey, Noah! Noah!
Yeah, Noah, you've been preaching a day of doom for 120 years! If you ever show your face again, we'll feed your carcass to the lions and buzzards!
On the eighth day, dark clouds overspread the heavens.
What is it?
Beginning of the flood! That's what!
Then came the muttering of thunder and the flash of lightning. Soon, large drops of rain began to fall.
Maybe there will be a flood.
The world had never witnessed anything like this, and the hearts of men were struck with fear. Darker and darker grew the heavens, and faster came the falling rain.
There is going to be a flood! What'll we do?
I'm going to make my sister let me in the ark.
It's too late. Remember what she said, that once the door was closed, no one could get in.
Oh. Oh. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tie myself to the ark. If it's safe, then I'll be safe too.
It won't do you any good. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. There's no use even to try.
Well, I'm going to try.
Lots of people tried in vain to save themselves. Many pleaded to be let in the ark, or endeavored to break in. Others fastened themselves to massive trees on lofty mountains. Some lashed themselves and their children to strong animals, believing that the animals would climb to the highest points to escape the rising waters. But all in vain. The storm increased in fury. The fountains of the deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. As the waters covered the lower places of the earth, many people fled to the mountaintops. Finally, even these were covered, and the despisers of God perished in the black depths. The world became a shoreless, lifeless ocean. Inside the ark was peace of mind and safety, and thankfulness to God, that God is not only a God of law and justice, but also a God of love and mercy.
Oh, great and merciful God in heaven, we thank thee for saving us this day from destruction. Now, wilt thou sustain us through the trying days and weeks that lie ahead? Preserve the ark and its cargo of living creatures as it is tossed about by the angry billows. And when these waters shall subside, may we continue always to worship and obey thee in all things. O God, may thy mercies and wondrous love abound forever and ever.
Twelve months on a boat.
Holy Scripture says,
and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and the waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. And waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep.
It often seemed to the family within the ark that they must perish, as for 5 months their boat was tossed about. It was a trying ordeal, but Noah's faith did not waver. He had the assurance that God's hand was guiding the ark.
I wonder if we'll ever get out of this alive.
Why, Ham, shame on you talking like that.
Well, we've been shut up in this ark for almost half a year. Think of it, 150 days, and still the storm rages. Oh, listen to the wind and feel the motion of this boat.
Ham, you... Oh, it is discouraging, I'll admit.
Father Noah says that God will take care of us. Just have patience.
Patience? For 5 months we've been shut in with all these noisy birds and animals. I'm getting tired of it.
Sometimes Son, I know it's been difficult, but let's remember that God has been very merciful to us.
Oh, I know, Father, but 150 days of this is enough to drive anyone to distraction.
Listen.
And still the end is not in sight.
Listen, please, listen.
What is it, dear?
Things sound different than they did. And this boat, it's not tossing around like it was.
Some of the noise has stopped.
Say, that's right.
And maybe we're on dry land.
We must be.
Let's open the door and find out.
Oh, it'll be a relief to stretch again.
And not have a bunch of smelly animals around.
I'll go get our things together.
All right, but hurry back. We'll open the door.
Oh, be sure.
Just a minute. Just a minute. We're going to open no door. We're going to stay right here, so just keep calm.
We may be on dry land.
Father,
now, quiet, all of you. Listen to me. We came in the ark at the express command of God. We will leave only at God's express command. God closed the door. It will not be opened until he opens it.
Father, surely you don't
think that... Now, quiet, Ham. You and Japheth remove the covering from the window on the top of the ark. We'll look out and see if we are on dry land or not.
Oh, yes, that's fine.
I think I got it. There, the window's opened.
What do you see?
Can't see anything yet.
Shem, you crawl up in the window and tell us what you see.
Yes, sir.
Get up here.
I really do want to know.
The sky, it's blue and clear. Oh, the storm's over at least.
I can't see if the ark's on water or not, but evidently it is because I see water everywhere. We seem to be floating on a sort of a lagoon. Oh. I can see the tops of mountains all around us.
The Lord is protecting us. He has caused the ark to drift into this spot protected by a group of mountains.
We can't get out of the ark yet?
No, the tops of the mountains are the only land showing.
Oh. How soon will it be dry enough to go outside?
Well, it's hard to say, daughter. But at the proper time, we'll leave this ark and start life again on the earth.
Noah and his family anxiously waited for the drying up of the waters, for they longed to go forth again upon the earth. Finally, on the 40th day after the tops of the mountains became visible, they sent out a raven.
All right, Ham, let the raven loose.
So there it goes.
What good is it going to do to let the raven loose?
The raven is a bird of quick scent. If there's dry land, the raven won't be back.
Oh, I see.
Well, the raven isn't even flying away. He's just flying back and forth around the ark.
Evidently, he doesn't detect any dry land, which means we'll have to wait longer before disembarking. Let the raven in again.
Yes, sir.
Seven days later, they again sent out a bird. This time, a dove.
It's flying straight away from the ark.
Maybe the water's dried up now.
We'll soon know.
Here it comes back.
It's still not dried up.
Evidently not.
All right, Ham. Let the bird in.
A week later, Noah again sent forth the dove.
Oh, here it comes back.
I thought surely the water would be dried up by this time.
One of these days it will be. Just be patient.
The dove! The dove! It's got something in its bill!
Something in its bill? What?
Oh, just a minute now. I'll be able to see what it is.
Oh, I wonder what it can be.
It's an olive leaf!
An olive leaf?
A green one!
Oh, at last. The water is dried up and vegetation is springing forth.
Oh, wonderful news!
The hopes of Noah and his family were again revived.
And Noah removed the covering of the ark, and behold, the face of the ground was dry.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Still, they waited patiently within the ark for nearly 2 more months, waited for God's command to leave the ark. At last...
Look! Look at that bright light!
Yes, sir. And the door. The door of the ark. It's being opened.
Then God said to Noah,
"Go forth from the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring forth with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, that they may be fruitful and multiply upon the earth."
In the joy of being released from the ark, Noah did not forget him by whose gracious care they had been preserved. His first act was to build an altar and offer a sacrifice of every kind of clean beast and fowl, showing his gratitude to God and his faith in the coming Messiah.
But, Father, why sacrifice so many animals? We preserve these animals at great labor and expense. Oh, surely God doesn't expect us to waste them on sacrifices.
Son, our first consideration always should be of God. We should cheerfully give him the first fruits of our labor. Every gift to us from God should be acknowledged by gifts for him and acts of devotion. We will sacrifice one each of the clean animals and fowls.
And when the Lord smelled the pleasing odor, the Lord said in his heart,
"I will never again curse the ground because of man. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease."
And God blessed Noah and his sons. Sometime later...
Look, look, all of you. Over there in the eastern sky, another storm's approaching.
With another flood coming, we'll all be killed.
Oh. Look, there's a beautiful colored bow in the sky.
I've never seen anything like that before.
It's amazing. Oh, Father Noah, does it mean that we'll have another flood?
I don't know what it means. I know only that whatever comes, it will be God's will.
And God said to Noah and to his sons with him,
"Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood to destroy the earth. This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you, and for all future generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh."
Yes, God put the rainbow in the sky that all the world may know that never again will he destroy the earth by a flood. Not long after this...
Well, I think it's time we're building permanent homes, don't you?
Oh, yes, Father.
All right, sons, all three of you. Do some exploring tomorrow morning. Try to find an ideal spot for our homes.
Well, Father, what do you consider an ideal spot?
Well, look around for a natural, beautiful setting. A place that is centrally located as to a grazing area and suitable land for vineyards and gardening. You'll know when you find the right location. Well, sons, have any success?
Yes, Father, but, well, we're disappointed in what we found. Yes.
Oh?
Well, everything's changed from what it was before the flood.
Nothing's the same. Nothing at all.
What do you mean?
Well, the mountains aren't pretty anymore. They're rugged and precipitous, jagged. Even the valleys and hillsides, they're ugly. All the forests are buried.
The entire countryside presents an appearance of confusion and desolation impossible to describe.
Such is the curse that sin has brought upon this once perfect and beautiful earth that God created. But with hard work and God's blessing, we shall go forth to build homes and re-inhabit the earth.
Yes, Father.